A fly flitters on the wind on a crisp summer day. The fly swims around in the air as it delves down into the entrance to a dungeon. As it enters the dark, dank, stone-cold dungeon, it spots a figure off to its left. It flies closer to investigate.
The fly comes past the large metal helm with the caked-on grime and dust of decades of misuse, dents of battles long ago fought, and the etching of Gristle Maw in the mandible of the helm. And the skeleton that rests under it blinks faded, bored eyes and shoos the fly away.
The fly dodges deftly the brushing and continues down the path until it comes upon another figure leaning against a wall.
The skeletal remains of the great orc Vivio Landris. A lovable guy who was kicked out of his community for being too positive. His biggest weakness... His biggest weakness...
is talking.
He blushes a lot. Like, a ridiculous amount for an orc. Just the thought of holding someone's hand...
He's also a skeleton.
...sends him into... Yeah, that's what's so freaky about it, is it's a blushing skeleton. It's blushing calcium. Is that what... No, that's what you should drink for your bones. What is... It's... Never mind. That's what the fly hit.
The fly continues on past the bright red skeleton down to the back of the corridor where it smells a pile of rotting stench. And as it comes closer, another figure emerges from the darkness.
I would like to think that this figure doesn't just emerge, but it skitters across the top of some rocks as it slowly plucks the fly out of the air. My oh my, aren't you a plump little fella? You're perfect to complete my collection as I skitter back over to a barrel. Popping open the top of the barrel, it is full to the brim with the rotting, fetid fat from the adventurers that have come into this cave and have had the misfortune of running into Arthur McLarder as he places the fly on the top of this pile, sealing the barrel once again. Soon you will be congealed enough where I can tell you to the women of the village to feed their children this cancerous oil.
The RPG Academy presents Adventure Skeletons, a one-shot RPG adventure. You can find this and more content on our brand new YouTube channel, youtube.com/@the RPG Academy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RPG Academy Presents Adventure Skeletons. Tonight, I am joined by Lee Winika.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lee Winika of Tabletop Journeys. Pleasure to be here.
I got Tom with me.
No descriptor, just Tom.
And the lovable curmudgeon, John.
Wait, why am I the lovable curmudgeon?
I don't know. I just feel like...
I honestly, John, do not take this, like, offense. You're kind of giving some strong curmudgeon energy.
Because I'm, just because I'm in a dark, smoky cave.
He's got
cave.
That big C energy, is that what you're saying, Tom?
Yeah. Yup.
All right, so today we're going to be playing Adventure Skeletons, and we're going to just jump right into it. So, all of you are skeletons. You've been in this dungeon for as long as you can remember. Your past memories fade and come and go as they please. All that remains truly in your mind is the dungeon. Except for the past 3 weeks, there hasn't been anybody coming in or out of the dungeon. You've been bored out of your collective minds. And so, you all independently and collectively come up with an idea. 3 weeks ago, the last adventuring crew that came through stole something from your dungeon, a gemstone. And with it, they claimed to each other in private conversation that you overheard, they were delivering it to a lady in white who would use it for an evil binding ritual.
Wait a second. Can I ask a meta question here?
Sure.
When did women in white do evil binding rituals? What fantasy trope are you pulling this from?
You just have to play the one shot and find out. Okay.
Well, as Arthur skitters across the stones, his goblin form rushing through this cave. My dear companions, collectively, I feel like we have come up with an idea.
Yes. Really?
Yes. What?
What?
I
made a mistake. Shouldn't have said anything.
We're going to get the gem, right?
Yes.
We all had that idea. Because we're a team.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not coming here to get the gem anymore, so we gotta go get the gem, bring it back, so they keep coming back.
I think we should discuss team names. I think Boner Boys is a really good one.
Incorrect.
I vote for it as well.
I think the Calcimates.
That's pretty on the epic. Nose.
That's pretty
legendary. Even.
I have to agree. That's pretty epic.
You said what? Calcium?
The Calcimates.
The Calcimate.
Calcimates.
Calcium.
Like calcium and mates.
Oh, we're like mates. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're on that level yet.
Calcimate legions.
No. Stop adding things to it. All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Shut up.
Said.
What was your? I don't even remember your name. Who are you?
Said.
I've never. Who am I?
Said.
I'm Said.
Yeah. Cedric.
No, Said. Because we said he should shut up.
all right. Well, look. All right, Said. Be quiet, like he said.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Like Ragnar was saying, we need to get the gem back because otherwise these adventurers are not incentivized at all to come here, and I will no longer be able to my fat is starting to become fetid, and it needs to be...
That sounds like a medical condition that you should go see.
I have it. It's my collection.
Yeah, as you can see, you have it, and you should go to the doctor to get it taken care of.
I am boned.
Yeah, but you're also talking about all this fat. I mean, we all have image problems from time to time. I mean, I look in the mirror, and I wish I had, you know, a couple more pounds on me.
You know what they say. McLard or lard will put the fat on the bone.
They do say that.
They do. They do. Very much so. So, what I suggest we do is follow Ragnar's plan, our collective plan, as you may say, to go get this gem back.
Yes, right. I think Team Cellulite, let's go.
Team Cellulite.
Smash cut to you guys digging around through the dead adventurer's belongings that you've vanquished in the past, and you collect up some weapons and some gear that you can use to make your way out of this dungeon for the first time and who knows how long.
Before we leave the dungeon, though, I'm gonna go over to Cedric.
Yeah.
Cedric?
Yeah. I'm still just a head. My body's been destroyed and you still haven't rebuilt me.
We've not. But we have plans for you. Great plans.
Yeah.
Legendary plans.
To be fair, Cedric, I do think I saw Ragnarok in the corner using your bones as, like, whittling. So you might want to talk to him.
Ragnar, you're whittling my bones.
Not exactly. I'm whittling with your bones.
That's what she said.
Not sure that's better.
Oh, it's much better. You're the active participant versus the subjective participant.
Look, and you know, people that are alive spend a lot of money to get bone slimming done. So you're getting it for free. So be grateful, Cedric.
Oh, okay, you're right. I should be more grateful.
You should.
I hear bone daggers fetch a lot on the open market.
So, Cedric, we're going to sell pieces of you on the open market.
And we need to take your head along with us.
And we do. Because
we may need new versions of you. So we may just start cracking away at that little noggin.
Okay.
But what we've given you is purpose. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's true.
That's right. They say life without purpose is nothing. Death without purpose. Whew. That is also nothing, but we are now going to allow you to do something. Okay.
All right. And with that, you take up Cedric's head.
Can we put the little whittled down pieces inside of his skull so like we can shake him like a maraca?
I like
it. It's awfully loud.
For it one is. Of us.
And so you guys make it out of the dungeon into the sunlight. And as you walk down the road, the world seems vast and alien. You've spent your existence in a dungeon surrounded by stone walls and forgotten treasures. But now everything is strange, unfamiliar, and unsettling. The ground beneath you is loose and dusty, not like the cold stone floors you're used to. On either side of the path, there are strange wooden structures, tall poles with thin threads of metal strung between them. You've never seen anything like it before. The wind picks up slightly, causing the tall plants, stalks of something unfamiliar, to sway and rustle. You hear the strange, unsettling sound of leaves brushing together. Suddenly, up ahead, you spot a figure coming toward you. A man in a long, wide-brimmed hat. He's walking with something huge lumbering beside him. The figure holds a long stick in his hand, and he walks with a slow, deliberate pace. His companion, a hulking four-legged beast, clinks with the sound of metal. You see the gleam of a small bell dangling from its neck, each jingle a warning as the creature breathes heavily, filling the air with the low rumble of a threat. So far, the figure doesn't notice you approaching.
As we're walking, Ragnar will be kind of half humming, half softly singing a song. Saw a dead head sticker on a wagon attack. Little voice inside my head said, don't look back.
I start shaking Cedric's head to give some rhythm.
Do they notice us now?
Yeah, so you've made the noise. And the man, he kind of like looks up, his hat tilts up. And you can see him sort of squinting. And he's like, oh, hello there, adventurers.
Hello. Top of the day to you.
Where are you all off to?
We're here to reclaim some fetid fat.
No, we're not here for fat.
We're looking for a woman in white.
The woman in... Oh, yeah.
She's... Also, we do have some powdered bones that you could, you know... Sniff, sniff.
I don't partake in...
It's an aphrodisiac. It'll give you a boner.
Jeez Louise. Oh my God.
That's an old wives' tale.
Okay.
Which we assume you have an old wife.
Oh, not for some time. It's just been me and Hilda here.
And he sort of pats the large hulking creature next to him.
Oh, that's not the wife?
Oh, no. Of course. What do you take me for?
And now, by now, he's getting closer and he can kind of see that you guys aren't human.
Stand back.
You guys are skeletons. And you see his face fill with some sort of expression. It's so hard for you to tell. Being skeletons, all you really see is each other's skeletal faces. But you know, this is not a good expression.
I pull one of the bone daggers out of Cedric's head and throw it at the face of the guy.
So you throw this dagger, and it flies through the air and lodges in this man's torso. And he lets out a yelp of pain. And you see the hulking beast making an expression, and it's going to charge toward you. And it's going to get to you first, Vivio. And it is going to attempt to hit you. Well, it does, because you're slow. You're a skeleton.
And made his wife mad.
He rolled a 7, so he is going to hit you in the torso as well.
Oh. Tit you, for tat, as
some of
they
your
say.
Ribs sort of crack as its large head slams into you. All
does
right.
It? How would you describe its flesh as it goes running past me?
Furry.
Okay.
Undulating.
Is it ripple?
Oh yeah, it's just filled with fat.
Oh my word. This causes my bones to shake.
All right,
I want some of it. Very uncomfortable.
Ragnar, what do you do?
I use the great axe and get the old man because it seems to be louder.
All right. 4. You're going to hit him right in the right arm. So go ahead and roll that d8.
That's a 3.
So you sever this man's arm entirely and it flops to the ground. And just like a spray of blood comes off as the man just collapses in the road, dying of blood loss right in the middle of the street.
It's a walking paintbrush.
The hulking beast turns its attention toward you now. Arthur McLorder, what are you doing?
That is the most loyal wife I have ever seen.
Well, Arthur has never seen highly concentrated lard in one location. Guys, I don't know why I picked this. This is just a bit that I decided to go with, and now I'm just going to run with it. All right. So, Arthur is going to attack.
Should we tell him that lard comes from a pig, not from a cow?
I love the idea that you know more about lard than I do. This is all due to the fact that Arthur did not listen to his father. Jake, can we have a flashback scene?
Yes.
Tallow lard. My God, son, get this right.
But Pog, at the end of the day, the people will eat it. It doesn't matter.
If you make pemmican with lard, it tastes nasty. If you make pemmican with tallow, it tastes good.
I don't understand why you care so much about fat. I will never care about fat the way that you do. And then we flash forward, and I'm like, give me some of this fat. And I'm going to attack this big old creature.
All right, go ahead and roll that D10.
2. Oh, that's so sick.
You miss as you run forward.
Oh, no.
This hulking beast just kind of like bucks its back feet, kind of clearing the area around it as we come back to Vivio.
I go over to the severed arm, and I attach it to the underside of the matching side of my body.
So it hangs limply. As it's not connected in the right position, but it does attach strangely to your form.
Why won't it animate?
Because you only had 2 arms in life, so you only have 2 arms in death.
Okay, we better get... Okay, I'm keeping it on, because that is now my new goal, is getting this sucker back to life.
Or just doubling all of your body parts. Doubling every bone.
You've already got an extra head.
Yeah, I would... Oh, my God. Cedric?
Yeah?
We got a future together, buddy.
All right, so that's what you do on your turn. The cow is going to come after Ragnar, since Ragnar just, ripped the arm off of the creature's master. And so, forward, the hulking beast runs, and it rolls a 4, hitting Ragnar in the right arm. All right.
Ouch!
Ragnar, you're up.
Ragnar will take the great axe and swing at the cow. I'm going utterly insane on this beast.
Whoa. That's like 3 puns already, man.
Yeah.
We have a 4 pun limit, so that last one better be real good.
And karma has gotten the best of me with a 2.
A 2. Oh, so this cow is just, it's still alive. It's kicking, and it is fighting for what is right and good in this world. It is now Arthur's turn.
I rolled a 7.
That is a hit. Go ahead and roll to see where you hit this poor creature.
A 3.
Oh, you're going to hit it right in the pelvis. Go ahead. Okay. And roll damage. What are you attacking with?
I have on my character sheet, I have a +1 scimitar. Because I wrote some stuff on my character sheet, and then I specifically asked before we left, do we have everything on our character sheet?
Oh my
gosh. And you said, yeah. So I got this +1 scimitar.
Okay, fine. So it's +1 to hit, so really it would have made your 7 and 8.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It's not so, +1. Oh, wait. It's hit and damage. So it's both. So the scimitar, you roll a d6 +1. So that's 6 damage.
Yep.
So
I rolled 6 damage.
You hit this beast, and you realize you must have just hit this beast in its weak spot. Because something this large and full of lard, there's no way that it's going to be taken down with this, you know, measly of a hit in its pelvis.
But I don't know. If it's got lard in it, then there's something veterinarily wrong with it.
But you kill it. It's dead. It falls dead in the road.
I had no idea. I'm learning so much tonight. I'm learning that lard does not come from cows. I'm learning that you can literally kill a cow by hitting it in the pelvis.
With a sword, you could probably kill anything by hitting it in the pelvis.
Like, where is a cow's pelvis? I don't know. Is it in the front or is it in the back? I don't know. Have 2?
Okay, Tom, this is a 1-page RPG, so they really got to boil everything down. Lard exists in all creatures.
And speaking of boiling stuff down.
Well, that's how you get the tallow.
Yeah. I'm going to take this fat-like substance and boil it down.
In the middle of the street right now?
Yeah, I assume this man... I'm going to fill up this man's hat.
And while he does that, I saw off one of the horns of the beast, and I attach it to my forehead so I can be a unicorn.
Oh, my God.
Dude, imagine... So, but here's the thing. Jake, we're playing it up because imagine what other people are seeing. Imagine if 3 skeletons showed up at your town and killed the lovable farmer that his name was Jeff. And Farmer Jeff had his cow. And we just killed it.
Bessie.
And we start boiling it. And then one of them is like ripping pieces off. Remember, his bones are like still kind of like bloody too. So.
Fun fact, cows can see almost 360 degrees around themselves.
I take the cow eyes and I put it in my head. Can I now see 360 degrees?
Oh my God.
Also, cows have no upper front teeth.
Do you have cow Wikipedia open?
No. I'm very learned as the orc skeleton unicorn.
All right. After a few hours, I guess, of breaking down this cow, using every piece of it, like, you know, the nature lovers intend, you're left in the middle of the dusty road with just a small blood stain to ever mark your passing this way. And your eyes...
Are there other people?
No, not a single soul has passed. But your eyes linger up to where the gentleman, if you had talked to him slightly longer before, you know, rattling bones or whatever you did to get us down this path anyway, gestured back to a farmhouse where he was gesturing about the lady in white when you asked. And you see it up on the hill.
Do you all see that farmhouse up on the hill?
I do. I do.
That man was pointing. And then we murdered him. But here's the thing. He instigated it against us.
He did make a facial expression.
Can I do a flashback?
To what?
We flashback to the man's reaction, and it's like he just has a slightly puzzled look on his face.
Moving on, I assume you're headed to the farmhouse?
Sure.
We are.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's follow that bloody path road.
So you start making your way down the path, and you finally make it to the farmhouse. It seems eerily quiet. And as you push open the creaky door to the farmhouse, you're greeted by a strange and unsettling sight. The room inside is large, with a rough wooden beam stretching across the ceiling and sunlight streaming through dusty windows. But everything about it feels off. Brightly colored ribbons are strung around the room, twisting and draping over the walls and furniture like some sort of arcane bindings. To your dungeon-born eyes, it looks like the site of an ancient and dark ritual. Flowers bundled together in tight groups sit on a large wooden table like withered offerings to an unknown spirit, and shimmering candles beside them only add to the eerie atmosphere. In the middle of the room, you spot something even more disturbing, a large ornate chest covered in carvings and shining faintly. It looks like it could hold a powerful relic. Perhaps the focus for the binding ritual you've sought. Your bones rattle with unease. You can feel almost the magic lingering in the air, ready to be used. But you're not alone. On the opposite sides of the room, there are two humans, a man and a woman, both dressed in matching formal robes. Their expressions are hard and cold, their gazes burning with displeasure at your intrusion. The matching outfits look like the uniforms of ritual cultists, ready to begin their work. The man steps forward, his face twisted with anger. "What are you doing here?" he demands in his sharp and hostile tone. It's full of dark authority, like he's the high priest of this secretive cult. "You're not supposed to be here!" the woman hisses, her eyes narrowing at you, filled with contempt. The air in the room is thick with tension, and you can feel their desire to drive you out. But you've come too far. This is clearly the heart of the ritual. These two are guarding something important, and you can't leave without finding out what's inside of that chest.
Oh. We need what you have.
Give it to us.
Leave!
I start shaking Cedric's head in a way that seems scary.
They make that same expression you saw on the man down the road at the rattling of the skull, and you just know that these cultists are planning something dire.
Oh, my word. We know your type. We've
make
served...
Make paintbrushes! Attack!
All right. Ragnar rushes forward. Do you attack the man or the woman?
Oh, I'm an equal opportunity skeleton attacker. I will go, evens it's her, odds it's him, odds it's him. I'm swinging with the great axe.
All right, go for it.
That is a 2. I miss again.
Yes, you do miss. Just barely. Your great axe swipes through the air as the man jumps back. His expression, it's getting more expressive as he watches this axe slice in front of the air in front of him. All right, Vivio, you're up.
I run at the man with my head down and jump like a flying arrow and pierce him.
That's a 2. He moves to the side as you dive through the air, horn first, and collapse in a heap, next to him on the floor, his expression altering slightly to less expressive in a different way, possibly. And leaving us now with Arthur.
Now, as I was saying, we pose a serious and dire threat to you. A bodily threat, as they may say. As you can see, my two companions have so valiantly shown you. Deftly, you may say. So I will once again tell you, give us what's in this chest. Or the last words you will hear, McLarder Lard, it puts the fat on your bones. Have you ever heard those words before?
So they each share a look, and the woman says, take what's in the chest, and she rushes out the door. And the man looks more confused, but still backs away, and he's like, if all you want's the chest, just take the chest. Just don't hit me with that axe.
We need a key to open it?
No, there's no key. And he starts walking toward the door, and if you don't attack him, he will slip out the door, leaving you
in
the
chest. Okay.
I want the chest.
All right, so we'll go to the top of the order. He used his turn to move toward the door. Yep. The woman has already left. She's ixnayed. So go ahead and roll to attack.
That's an 8, and I hit 7.
7, you're going to hit him in the torso. So go ahead and roll that D8 of damage.
8.
You bury this axe directly into this guy's chest. And he looks down. His expression changes for a third time. This one looks more strange than all of them. And he looks back up into your cold, open eye holes and says, why? And falls down dead.
Because you didn't give it to him the first time he asked.
Also, you just made me a liar because I told him the last words he was going to hear is McLarder Lart, it puts the fat on your bones. But the last time I said that, then I said something after that. So you did not allow me.
Oh, my apologies. I lift his head up and I pry open his eyes and I say, McLarder Lard puts the lard on your bones.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Why do you always mock me like this?
No, he was being the guy.
Look.
It puts the lard on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
That's actually very good. I like that.
Thanks.
That little remix. All right, but look. First off,
I flip the axe over so he falls off the axe.
We have a reputation to uphold. We said we were going to let them go, and you just murdered him. We can't conduct ourselves in this way.
We let one of them go. That's like half okay.
I ignore them both and walk over and open the trunk.
You open the chest, and you're horrified to see candles, incense, a silver dagger, and bundles of white cloth. All of this screams ritualistic intent.
Can I take one of the cloths and drape it over my body?
You can.
Guys, look, I'm the lady in white. Ha ha! As I start jumping around the room. Is there a gem in there? Do you find the gem?
There is not a gem. But you do notice, over on one of the tables is an empty box that would have been big enough to house the gem.
I take the dagger, and I run it up and down my rib cage because it sounds like xylophones.
Is there a kitchen in here?
There is a small kitchenette.
I'm going to walk into the kitchen and check the cupboard. Something doesn't feel right.
You check the kitchen, and it appears very, very different in the wealth distribution between the cultists using this farmhouse and probably the farmer who lived here.
But what kind of lard do they have?
They have McVeal's Feels lard.
No! How could this be?
Also, veal is a cow.
Vivio!
Fabio, Ragnar, my friends. My friends, as I come out of the kitchen holding this. My family's monopoly is shattered.
This is a fantasy setting.
Are there any other doors?
There, yeah, so there's the door that you came in the front, and then there's a door toward the back, and that's the one the woman ran out of.
I so bet you just, she has the gem.
So they're just ignoring my distress.
Yes.
I would like to note that my they didn't care about me. Okay.
It's less that I didn't care about you and more that she has the gem and she's the one that visited evil upon your family's reputation. Let's go cut her in half.
Very well. That is a compelling argument.
Of course it is.
I will run out.
After you.
Plus one scimitar in my hand.
As you burst out of the back door, you can see they have erected a large tent behind the house.
It's a tent revival.
There's a tent? Are there lots of people?
So, it is still quiet. There's nobody that appears to be around. But the tent, it's got closed walls. So you have to, if you want to look inside the tent, you'll have to actually go to the tent and open one.
I pop my head with my unicorn point into the side of the tent. So I have an eye hole.
Peering into the tent, you sense a wave of unsettling energy that seems to cling in the air. The space inside is vast. Flowing white fabric drapes from tall poles. It looks like a massive shrine, the canopy of fabric resembling shrouds of the dead. Garlands of flowers twist like bindings woven to trap souls, and the soft glow of lanterns overhead like a ritualistic light, dim and hazy, guiding spirits to their final binding. The tables are meticulously set with plates and goblets, each perfectly placed as though awaiting participants in the dark ceremony. The gleaming silverware placed like sacrificial tools arranged in preparation for the final act of the ritual. In the quiet of the empty tent, there is a sense of anticipation, like the very air is holding its breath for the ritual to begin.
Does anyone see the bride? The woman in white?
Wait. Get in there,
Ragnarok. I rip the tent open. Give us what is ours!
From the shadow.
So saith the legions of Galcium!
From the shadows, figures emerge. Humans dressed in fine clothes, carrying strange instruments. They step out from behind one of the tables. Their violins and flutes gleam in the dim light. These are not ordinary bards, but dark practitioners, using their music as a powerful form of ritual magic. You can feel the arcane energy thumming in the air as they take up their instruments, surely ready to begin the song of summoning.
I grab Cedric's head, and I use his jaw like a trigger and shoot bone daggers out of his mouth at everyone in my vicinity.
Oh my god.
Also, don't you have like a xylophone now too. You could like ingratiate yourself with them.
Yeah, whatever ingratiate means, I do that too.
Okay, so go ahead and roll D10 for throwing a dagger is what we'll call it at its base.
Whoa, he shot the dagger. Jake, why are you trying to squash John's creativity? Is this because he's your brother?
Well, okay. Yes.
You shoot the dagger from the skeleton's mouth with the force of a bullet, but still miss.
Fan the skeleton.
Get it together, Cedric!
I'm sorry, there's too many daggers in my mouth.
That's what she said.
All right, Ragnar, you are up, sir.
I run at the first band member I can find, and I swing at him, singing, "Bow down before the one who swings. You're going to get what I doth bring."
And I start using the dagger to play accompaniment to go with his song.
And that's a 10.
That is going to hit. And where do you hit him? A 2. You're going to hit him in the left leg. Go ahead and roll that d8. A 5. You are going to de-leg. There's 3 band members. And you go ahead and just de-leg one right out of the gate. He's holding the nub of his leg. And his violin is smashed on the ground next to him. As he slowly bleeds out. Next, Arthur McWhorter.
I walk over to him.
Hold that note.
I walk over to him and say, oh, excuse me, thank you very much. And I reach and I grab his leg and I attach it in between my other 2 legs.
All right, the 3-legged orc moves away from the battle as Arthur McWhorter takes his turn.
All right.
Just wait till the lady skeletons hear about that. me, the 3-legged orc. Come on.
Okay. All right. Arthur is going to. Anyone with a guitar?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Arthur feels a certain rage build up. I rolled a 10 as well.
All right. It explodes, but it doesn't matter because you already hit.
All right. Then I roll again.
Yeah, you roll again. Where do you hit?
7. I roll a 7.
That is the torso.
Okay.
Go ahead. And you're doing scimitar.
I rolled a. That's 7.
7 damage. You kill that one as well in one hit.
Do I slice through his whole body?
You do. And as the top half of his body falls off and hits the floor, you see the napkins around the table. They have the imprint of McLarder Lard.
Oh my word. You all, this is an inside job. I am an active participant in this now. Can all I right. take this? Can I take the fleshy legs and attach them to my bony torso?
Well, you'd have to spend some time carving them off.
All right.
Well,
this is my.
Is there any alcohol or candles or anything in my vicinity? Oil burning?
There is plenty of alcohol at the bar.
Okay, I look at Cedric and I say, man, you really screwed up this last time. So
I'm sorry.
You got to pay the ultimate price. So I go and I grab some high proof rum, fill up his noggin, put a napkin inside of it and light it and throw it, making a Molotov cocktail out of his skull. And I throw it at one of the people.
He screams as he goes across the floor. You can go ahead and roll to hit. The last guy does get to take a turn before you go. So that explodes. So go ahead and roll again. Yep. Okay. So he's going to go, though. And he's going to basically take his harp. And he's just going to smash it over Arthur McLarder's head. We're going to see where he actually hits
you. Wait, I didn't kill him?
Well, he goes before you.
Oh.
So your left arm, he damages Arthur McLarder before he steps back to view his handiwork and a flaming skull crashes into him. Where does it hit, John? Go ahead and roll that action dice again. It's going to hit him right in the head. All right, you're going to deal 3 damage to him. He is still alive. As the skull doesn't shatter, it kind of just bonks him and catches a little bit of his clothes on fire. And so he is continually taking damage as some of the tablecloths in this room start igniting as well. But Ragnar, you are up.
Can I make a point of order real quick?
Yeah, what's the point of order?
As it is well established, skeletons are immune to fire. Right?
Is that established?
I think so. At least a low-grade burn. Like
you know what isn't? Fat. It renders down.
It does.
Sweet liquidiness.
Yes. Lard, one may say.
One may.
All right. Ragnar, you're up.
As I step over the fiddle player and I go at the next one in line and I say, if you're gonna play in Boughaven, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. You no longer have a fiddle player, so I'm gonna have to end your man. And I'm gonna swing the axe at the next one. That's a 10.
Go ahead and roll to see where you hit him. 5. You're gonna hit him right in the right arm.
As the axe swings, it goes through his arm, but glances off of the harp, so you get that nice ring. And the blood spray splatters over the crowd in this nice cascading like wave effect,
ending the beautiful song that you've created. The fire is increasing in intensity, and you can see an exit toward the back of the tent, leading deeper into this human dungeon.
Is the arm that was just severed, is it the same one as the other one I had attached to my body, or is it a different one?
I don't remember, so we'll say it's different.
Okay, so I attached that one to the other side.
So now you look like...
four arms!
What's that Mortal Kombat character? Goro?
Dr. Octopus.
Goro.
It's Dr. Octopus. That's a good reference. I love me a good Alfred Molina reference.
Okay, so this tent is it's gaining speed in its fiery torment. Where are you guys going?
We're going to walk slowly through the fire.
Well, right outside of this tent is where the crowd is. And the fire is gaining steam as you burst out of the back of the tent into a clearing where the ritual is set to take place. The atmosphere has shifted dramatically. The guests dressed in fine attire gasp in shock and confusion as you intrude upon their sacred gathering. The sun shines brightly above, casting an almost surreal light on the scene. A figure of authority stands with the lady in white, and surely her unexpected victim. It appears to be some sort of priest, clad in elaborate robes, as he raises a ceremonial dagger above his head, ready to perform the final binding rite. The lady, adorned in a flowing white gown that billows like a ghostly shroud, stands beside her victim, whose expression is one of cold determination. This moment is unmistakably a dark ritual, a final act to bind their souls together and likely entrap others in the process. As you charge into the scene, the other cult members begin to flee, panic spreading among the guests. Their face twists in horror as they realize you are here to disrupt.
I run up to the guy and pull off the two arms attached to my lower body and slam them together on each side of his skull.
So, okay, you're running past the priest to go straight for the victim of the binding ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to hit.
The victim?
He did describe it.
All right, that you are gonna miss.
Son of a gun! As you rush forward. I have horrible hand-eye coordination.
Do I see who has the gem?
It appears the lady in white is wearing it on some crudely made golden ring with the gemstone perfectly placed in the center.
I'm taking whatever limb has the gem on it.
All right. You rush forward, brandishing your great axe. Go ahead and roll to hit. So, that is, you're actually going to miss with a 3 as the woman in white sort of shirks back a little bit, aghast. But you can see this expression is one you know well, and it is of anger. Someone has just woken the dragon.
Rushing into this scene.
It becomes clear to you, Arthur McLarder, that the McLarders, they are sponsoring this ritual. That's why their napkins were in the feast hall that was erected to celebrate this dark ritual. The McLarders have fallen far since the time you knew them.
This is unacceptable. I need to claim my family name back. Never again will the McLarder name be used in such sacrilegious ways. And I'm going to charge right at this bestial woman in white.
I run over and bite down on the finger that has the ring.
Okay, so first it is the victim's turn. The victim is going to go ahead and attack Vivio, since Vivio came and tried to hit him with arms. And so he is going to roll to hit, and he's going to hit you in the head, which is not good for you, because that's one damage to your head. And if your head's out, who knows what's going to happen. Next, the woman in white. She is going to stare daggers at both Ragnar and Arthur McLarder, and she will choose to attack Ragnar because he looks scarier, honestly. And she is going to get a 7 to hit you in the torso. And then finally, the priest bearing the sacrificial dagger, he runs up behind Arthur McLarder and hits him right in the torso.
Oh, no.
I swing at her.
You brandish your great axe and swing it wildly.
10.
Oh, that is gonna hit. You hit her right in the freaking pelvis.
You learn from my
have
earlier...
Have a seat, sorceress. We're gonna be here all day. 8.
Oh, man. You do a big hunk of damage to her as she screams out in pain and anger all mixed together. Arthur McLarder, you're up.
Guys, these pelvis attacks, man. So good. 8.
Are you going after the woman in white?
I am.
All right. The so with your sorceress. Plus 1 sword, so that will be a 9. Yes. Yes, you will hit. Where do you hit her?
A 4.
You kill her.
I will not have my family's name disparaged in this way as I look her right in the face and I say, remember this. My name is Arthur McLarder, and nothing puts fat on your bones. No, McLarder lard. Put some fat on those bones. I think that's right. What did you say earlier, Vivio? You had a remix of it.
It puts the lard on its skin, or else it gets the hose again.
It puts the lard on your skin, and I'm going to just hack at her arm.
Where am I in relation to them?
You're standing right next to them. So basically the priest is behind you guys. You both are standing next to the bride, but you're closer to the groom.
Can he see me?
Yeah, he's horrified watching you guys stab his wife.
Wait, can I surprise him?
How do you want to surprise him?
I want to use my great axe to try and chop his head off.
Okay, you got a rolled hit.
So why don't you just say, you're like, why? You're trying to kill him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if his wife's dead, I'm sure, I mean, in orc custom, if one person in a binding ritual dies, the other one has to die as well.
So. I didn't know that. Vivio, you
son of a gun!
So you just miss entirely. Like, this guy he dodged the wrong way. He almost helped you hit him, and you whiffed so bad that that's what happened. So now
that's
the
me whiffing.
The priest.
This is how they got the ring in the first place, Vivio.
That's true.
The victim is going to go ahead and attack Vivio. And he's going to hit Vivio in the right arm.
He deserves that.
And the priest will continue attacking Arthur McLarder, since Arthur McLarder is the one who killed the bride. And he's going to hit Arthur McLarder in the left arm.
Oh, so that fills that up.
So your left arm is now gone. It drops to the ground.
Here's the thing. I did have leather armor, and I put next to it, super magic. Does that mean anything?
It doesn't mean anything.
Okay. All right, but
that, actually, that's the brand. That's the brand of leather armor.
Super
it's,
magic.
It's SM is like stamped into it because it stands for super magic. It's the cheap brand of leather armors in this land.
No, no, I was a McLarder. I had
it's,
the best.
It's the faded. It's the faded glory of of leather armor.
Okay, so, but I be eyeing this sorceress left arm with the ring on it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So it's your turn, Arthur McLarder.
Oh, it is my turn? I mean, the sorceress is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just hack at it, right?
Yeah.
There's somebody stabbing you.
I'm going to. I don't care. I'm a skeleton. I'm going to cut off this sorceress's left arm and slap it on my arm.
Immediately, you feel this arm. You can feel the wind on your skin.
Oh, sensation.
You feel sensations you haven't felt for so long before suddenly the skin and flesh rots away, leaving only your skeleton arm, and the ring is in dress arm length is also on your arm, but it turns into a skeleton arm.
Great work.
Can I clutch the ring in my fist and look at it?
It shines brightly as if it was a symbol of a long-lost love.
Really?
You can see etched in it, it says, to the moon and back.
Can I then say, in brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight? And does anything cool happen?
The priest and the victim make a facial expression.
But then, what if I continue? Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. McLarder's might. And do they do anything else?
No, but Ragnar is going to do something.
Okay.
Ragnar's like, will you stop playing around? He's stabbing you! And he will swing at the priest.
All right, so you're going to hit him in the leg. Go ahead and roll that D8.
3.
The priest is injured. It is now Vivio's turn.
Is Cedric dead?
No, I'm still over here. I'm in the burning tent.
Okay, so I grab Cedric.
You run all the way back to the burning tent?
Yes, and I find another bottle of rum and a napkin that's not on fire, and I make another Molotov cocktail and throw it at the victim.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to hit.
We're fighting here.
All right. You're definitely going to hit. Let's see where you hit him. 7. You're going to hit him in the torso. And go ahead and roll a D6, or I'll do it for you. That's 2 damage.
I don't like when you roll for me, because it's always a 1 or a 2.
The victim starts rubbing out the flames that are gathering on his clothes, but it's spreading too fast. And he starts undulating and screaming and just runs off into the forest until you see, a few minutes later, him collapse on the way, trying to get rid of the flames. Meanwhile, Arthur McLarder...
Take a load off!
Wait, is he dead or is he alive?
He's dead. Meanwhile, Arthur
now McLarder... Now the orc custom of dying after your captor dies is complete.
You feel the power of the ring start building within your skeletal frame. You can feel a call from the ring, letting you bind another to your will.
I turn to the flaming head of Cedric that I assume is now on the ground.
Yeah, he's on the ground again.
Cedric, you will now be mine. No longer will you follow Vivio's commands.
Oh, okay. I wasn't really following him, to be honest. I don't have a
silence,
body.
Silence, Vivian! Or silence, Cedric.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I've heard this entire conversation, and I have got notes.
Vivio.
Yeah?
Your years of abuse of Cedric come to an end.
I don't abuse him. I give him purpose. He literally would have contributed nothing to this whole adventure if I had not forced him to participate.
Is that what you think of Cedric? Not contributing at all? Just because he lays around all the time like a skeleton head doing absolutely nothing?
I think that the Boner Boys did what we set out to do.
So as you look around, you realize that the priest has sauntered off whilst you were arguing amongst yourselves.
Can I throw the great axe at him and hit him as he walks away?
Oh, yes, please do.
Hey.
That one, it can just happen. It can just
Nobody
happen.
Said you could go yet.
It flies through the air and lodges into his back, and he collapses. And it's at that perfect height where you can just walk by and pick it up.
Hold on to that for a second.
You look around and see the tent engulfed in flame, and you can hear the distant shouts and screams of the villagers running off in fear. But you can rest easy, knowing you've claimed this binding ring. And now the adventurers will come back to your dungeon.
Guys, did we literally do the plot of... I've never seen it, but is this the plot of Wedding Crashers? Like, is it?
Yeah,
I think so.
Scene for scene, actually.
Scene for scene?
Yeah.
Except I think we didn't get enough of the hors d'oeuvre thing. You know, the big and the fondue.
Okay.
That's the only thing we missed.
That's pretty good.
Do you all want to hear my Owen Wilson impression?
I actually really do.
Wow.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, all of you, for joining.
Aren't you going to tell us what the McLarter connection was? I need some history.
Oh, the McLarter. Obviously, they were the caterers, my guy.
Oh. Have you guys ever been to a wedding where the caterer just puts their branding on the napkin?
I don't know, yeah, Tom.
Yes. Actually, the wedding venues will frequently have embroidery on their napkins for the venue.
Oh, my word.
There you go. The McLarters...
We're learning so much tonight.
They don't do lard anymore. They cater weddings.
Yep.
They're a catering company.
You have to expand.
Arthur will never rest in peace.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right. Thank you all for joining and playing. This was a hoot and a half. And so... From all of us here at the RPG Academy, thank you for watching. Be sure to like, subscribe, do all that awesome stuff. And as always, if you're having fun, you're doing it right.
You're doing it right.
Such a beautiful day.
All right, that'll do it, folks.